because you never quite know how it's going to fall.
Yeah. Even though you might place it in a vat or something,
that's
and
right.
place the dye in certain areas on it, you're still never sure.
Yeah.
It's
because even if I use a recipe, you know, there's never two hanks the same. It's just not possible.
It's great. It's like snowflakes.
Yeah, each one is unique, really.
It's beautiful. Yeah. So how many looms do you have in here? You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 looms.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So this loom here is set up with a lace weave. And when I started up, when I came out of college first, this was the first weave structure that I set up on that other loom. There was no great plan to it. I didn't set out to weave lace. But over the years, I realised that the lace heritage of the county has been absorbed into my DNA, because here I was between Carrickmacross and Clonus.
Yes.
And making a different type of lace.
I love it.
You know, so I kind of, in my own mind, call it Annie Alla lace now,
you
know.
I think you should call it Annie Alla lace.
You know.
Yeah.
So this warp here that has been on the loom, you can see where one has been tied on and pulled through.
Yeah.
And then this is a different colourway. These have been woven for a shop in Dublin. I make them for them and I put their label on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I'm one of their makers.
Yes, yes.
And they would help to promote me on their social media and that. But yeah, it's very interesting.
And so when you say something is a lace, a scar, or it's lacy, I suppose that means essentially it's got little holes in it?
Yeah, it's a lace weave.
Oh, lovely. I didn't realise you could do that even on a...
Yeah, so it's all how the weave structure is the lacy part. So it's a combination of how it's threaded here and how it's threaded and peddled here.
All right, yeah.
So I'm not going to go through
it's far too complicated.
Numbers on that one.
Yeah, so I'd say your brain must be a real based around patterns and numbers, and it's solving problems the whole time.
Yes, it is. And I'm one of these people who, you know, would sit in a bathroom and check out the pattern in the tiles.
Yeah, that's your real design thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah.
You know, and even when we were tiling our house in our own kitchen, like, I wanted a diagonal line, but I didn't want the other tiles to be in a line.
Oh, right.
You know, I wanted a bit of randomness going on. So there's that balance again.
Yeah.
You know,
it's your creativity and your logic, sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a combination of working with straight lines and then kind of wanting to break them up with the hand-dyed wool as well. You know, to have a nice fluid movement.
And so when you're hand-dyeing wool, what form do you get it in usually?
I buy the wool in hanks of 500 grams, and then it's literally dyed in the saucepans here.
Yeah.
But my first, I suppose, introduction to dyeing happened as a child again when I was out gathering blackberries with my mother.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it was 6 or 7 and you get out of school to gather the blackberries and then you bring them to the weighmaster. And there was a big, huge vat of the blackberries. And I was on my tippy toes looking into it, and I said to him, "What happens to the blackberries now, you know?" And he said, "Well, some of them are used for jam and some of them are used for dye." And I said, "Dye? What's dye, you know?" And he said, "Well, you know when you see the sheep in the fields and their wool is white? Well, it means that the wool is taken from the sheep and it's put into a big pot with the blackberries and it changes colour."
Magic.
So, it was magic. It was magic for a 6-year-old, you know. And again, that's an image that always kind of stayed with me.
Yeah.
And here I am now dyeing wool.
It's fantastic, isn't it? So when you're dyeing wool, you have to get everything up to a temperature, do you?
Is
that wrong?
No, I have to say I don't use blackberries.
No, okay. But just we eat the blackberries. Blackberry crumble. Okay.
But, you know, I buy my dyes in.
Yeah.
And I use vinegar. They're called acid dyes. And the vinegar in question is... or the acid in question is vinegar.
Yeah.
And it sets the dye and it helps the dye to be absorbed out of the water so that the water can run clean.
I see.
And then, you know, the water can be reused.
Okay, that's
because,
really good.
Like, once you use soak the dye out of it, it actually runs clear, and then you can start fresh, you know, put a completely different colour into the pot then.
Yeah.
So rather than just, filling the water, dye in it and throwing it out. You know, I always try to reuse. And
if it goes wrong, does it ever go wrong and you end up with a combination that you didn't think you were going to get?
Absolutely, but those are the surprises. You know?
Yeah.
Those are...
Are they repeatable?
No. definitely not.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, come across a eureka moment.
But it's like when you see a beautiful sky in the evening. You know, you can take a photograph of it, but what really must do is enjoy it. It's a fleeting moment.
Yeah.
You know, you just take it as for what it is and enjoy it.
Yeah, and that's the beauty about things that are handmade from the very beginning, isn't it?
It's
nothing, as you said earlier on about the one that's on the loom at the moment, it's so unique.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so everything that's done here, if from the very first thread that goes on the loom, it's a deliberate decision, but it's also kind of random.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it?
I suppose my work is a kind of a mixture of very deliberate, logical decisions with threads.
And things you have to do, dyeing and everything.
And then applying, you know, the painterly effect of the hand-dyed wool to it.
Yeah.
You know, so I suppose it's a nice combination of the two.
It gives it a great effect as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, so like your work is available in Ireland, obviously.
Yeah.
And further afield as well, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we sell from our website and we also sell to, you know, some shops abroad as well.
Yeah.
And some really nice craft tourist shops around the country stock the scarves.
I know, every time I see your scarf somewhere else, I go, oh, I know Liz Christie. She's from Monaghan. Yeah, and it's great to see, you know, such high quality crafts elsewhere from Monaghan. And you know where it's made, and you know the swallows are on the side of the building when you come up the old end too.
Yeah.
You know, you can see those swallows, which I think is a magic idea to have on the side of your building.
Well, there was a story behind that, of course, but we'll not go into that.
Well, you probably had swallows, did you?
Well, the swallows, actually, when we bought the house, the outhouses had swallows nesting in them.
Yeah.
So then we actually built a wee shed, you know, the oil shed, and left it open and, you know, put a gate on it so that the swallows could come in and still build. So that is now Swallow Cottage.
Oh, it's brilliant because you have a beautiful wetland here beside you and everything. And I can just imagine them coming in and getting their little bits of mud out there in the lane and building their wee nest.
Yeah.
And then little do they know that this is called Swallow Studios.
Yeah.
And it's such a wonderful, isn't it? Kind of a, I don't know, squaring the circle or something like that they're still coming. And
I suppose it was a very obvious thing for us to, well, what are we going to call this place now? You know, well, it's Swallow Cottage and Swallow Studios, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And have you any more plans? We'll walk on out maybe and look at the sinks and that. Have you any more plans for any more sort of Monaghan-inspired, like, dye lots or scarves?
Well, I'll be doing a showcase in January, the trade show, so I will probably be working on some new ideas for that. This loom here is where we make the crisp belts.
Oh, this is very interesting.
So these are the traditional Irish belt worn by everybody would have worn this prior to the penal days. They became then associated with the Aran Islands because it was only safe to make them in the Aran Islands. They weren't getting, you know, tortured. So I actually make them here now. This is Lorna and she's weaving them. And we sell them now, you know, all over the country.
Yeah.
But we sell them to some shops in the Aran Islands.
I love that.
You know? And last year when they were making the film, The Banshees of Inisherin, they bought one of them in one of the shops in Inisherin. And then I had to make another one for the stuntman.
Yeah, and did you see who was wearing it on the...
I haven't seen the film yet.
Oh, I've seen the film.
Don't even know if they make an appearance, but
I think they do.
I will have my eyes out on stocks now to see it.
The fashion on the film The Banshees of Inisherin is phenomenal. I think they did a lot of research around knitwear and everything.
Yeah.
It's really super, I have to say. And Mrs. McCormick, I think, might be the banshee. She kind of hovers around the place in the film. It's pretty good.
Okay.
You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
But these are amazing. Instead of having other kind of fastenings, basically, people wore these.
Yeah. And the men would have bound it round their trousers. It was in the days before zips and buttons, or buttonholes and all the rest. And they literally would have bound it round and tucked it in.
Yeah.
And say for
it'd kind of hold you in a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And protected your kidneys as well.
Oh, yeah, because it's that's quite a tight weave.
Yeah, it is.
Much tighter weave than a scarf.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And that's all wool as well.
They're all wool. I use the Donegal wool for this.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Some of them are the Donegal colours.
Yeah.
And then this one here is one that I've dyed.
This machine
wool for. It's Donegal wool, but I've dyed it.
Yeah.
And I make these for a shop in Dublin, Stable of Ireland.
Oh, they're lovely. Yeah, that's great. And so you're actually keeping a real part of our Ireland's, I suppose we call it, clothing heritage alive
that's
there.
What it is, yeah.
It's phenomenal.
So this here is the warping mill. This is where all the threads are counted out.
So I think we better describe what this is. We're standing in front of four big tall uprights of timber with a cross shape that kind of swings around
big bit, a sort of a...
Rotates.
It rotates, thanks. Rotates around a cylinder in the middle, and it's got loads of threads woven around the outside.
Yeah, these are all marker threads. So the colours that you see on the frame here, the cotton.
Oh yes, look at that.
Candice did a warp with that the other day. So that's what Emma is weaving on now.
Okay, so then you lift these warps, you tie them.
Yeah, you chain it up. It's like a chain stitch.
Right.
And you take them over to the loom and tie them on.
That's very complicated.
It's a system, you.
Yeah, it's a system. I'm sure once you get used to it, it makes perfect sense. But when I'm looking at that now, that looks extremely complicated to me. And this is your dyeing area, and this is your secret book of recipes. Yeah.
So this is where they get written down.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get typed up, and a sample kept.
Yeah.
So as I say, even when we repeat these, there's never two the same because it's done by hand. Sometimes they never get as far as being typed up, and they just
end up in this lovely book here, which is all crinkly and bits of dye and bits of wool stuck on it.
Yeah.
That's a real heirloom right there.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
And some of the writing, sometimes you can't read your own writing in it. But and then we have the saucepans here.
These are like big bain-maries or bain-maries.
So you can see there, and I've kept that. There's blue in it.
Yeah.
So the next time I go to dye, I'll actually put a hank in there to soak that out.
Yeah.
And you can see here.
So that's the bobbly wool you were talking about.
Yeah, this is the booklet.
The booklet.
So you can see how clear that water is now.
Oh, that's amazing. It's completely clear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. But that's a lovely blue.
It is.
Turquoise.
Yeah, but that could be something
else.
Completely different. It's actually the same colour as what I'm wearing. Surprise,
it is,
surprise.
Actually. Yeah.
When it's finished. So, and then this, we use the bain-marie for a different kind, a different technique. And again,
yeah, that's where you'd lay the hanks in long and then kind of put different colours on it.
Yeah. And I call those dappled colours.
Okay.
It's just a different, and again, they're even more random than these ones.
Oh, it's beautiful. You know. It's a great workshop. It's great. And it's great to see other people learning the skill of weaving as well, passing on that knowledge.
It's lovely to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's lovely to be passing it on from a working perspective, you know, that people are it's their job.
Yeah.
You know, it's unusual enough, you know, there's a few hand weaving places left in Ireland and it's nice to be one of them.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Perfect. Look at that here. Just to the sound of that's just wonderful. Thank you so much, Liz.
Oh, thank you.
Sure. Thank you very much. That's just been fantastic. So we're back out into the shop now, away from the lovely clatter of the looms. And Liz, what would you say has been the most defining moment for you working as a weaver?
Oh my God, how can I answer that? Well, funny enough, yesterday I was at a meeting in the K Club. I was meeting luxury tour operators, management companies who bring people in to visit Ireland. And I was the one business from Monaghan, and I was really flying the flag for all of Monaghan.
Yeah.
And it was really an honour to be there as part of Ireland's Ancient East. There was people there from, as I say, Monaghan right down to Cove. And these people who bring tourists in are looking for authentic experiences for their customers. And I'm delighted to say that I made some really good connections yesterday. So I'm hoping that 2023 will bring more visitors to Swallow Studios to see the authentic nature of what we do, that everything is genuinely handmade here.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. Thank you so much for passing on all that knowledge to our listeners and indeed to all the people who visit here.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here, Shirley.
Ah, thank you. Heritage at the Heart podcast series is supported by the Heritage Council and Monaghan County Council.
sheep in the fields and is their wool is white. Well, it means that the wool is taken from the sheep and it's put into a big pot with the blackberries and it changes colour.
Magic.
So it was magic. It was magic for a six-year-old, you know. And again, that's an image that always kind of stayed with me.
Yeah.
And here I am now, dyeing wool.
It's fantastic, isn't it? So when you're dyeing wool, you have to get everything up to temperature, do you? Is that wrong?
No, I have to say I don't use blackberries.
No, okay, but just we eat the blackberries. Blackberry crumble. Okay.
But, you know, I buy my dyes in.
Yeah.
And I use vinegar. They're called acid dyes, and the vinegar in question is... Or the acid in question is vinegar.
Yeah.
And it sets the dye and it helps the dye to be absorbed out of the water.
Okay.
So that the water can run clean.
I see.
And then, you know, the water can be reused.
Okay, that's
because,
really good.
Like, once you use the, you know, soak the dye out of it, it actually runs clear. And then you can start fresh, you know, put a completely different colour into the pot then.
Yeah.
So rather than just, you know, fill in the water, dye in it and throwing it out. You know, I always try to reuse
and if it goes wrong, does it ever go wrong and you end up with a combination that you didn't think you were going to get?
Absolutely, but those are the surprises. You know.
Yeah.
Are they
repeatable?
No. Definitely not.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, come across a eureka moment.
But it's like when you see a beautiful sky in the evening. You can take a photograph of it, but what you really must do is enjoy it. It's a fleeting moment.
Yeah.
You know, you just take it as for what it is and enjoy it.
Yeah, kind of, and that's the beauty about things that are handmade from the very beginning, isn't it?
It is.
It's nothing, as you said earlier on about the one that's on the loom at the moment, it's so unique.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so everything that's done here, if from the very first thread that goes on the loom, it's a deliberate decision, but it's also kind of random.
Yeah. Yeah,
isn't it?
I suppose my work is a kind of a mixture of very deliberate, logical decisions with threads.
And things you have to do, dyeing and everything.
And then applying, you know, the painterly effect of the hand-dyed wool to it.
Yeah.
You know, so I suppose it's a nice combination of the two.
It gives it a great effect as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, so like your work is available in Ireland, obviously.
Yeah.
And further afield as well, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we sell from our website and we also sell to, you know, some shops abroad as well.
Yeah.
And some really nice craft tourist shops around the country stock the scarves.
I know, every time I see your scarf somewhere else, I go, oh, I know Liz Christie. She's from Monaghan. Yeah, and it's great to see, you know, such high quality crafts elsewhere from Monaghan. And you know where it's made and you know the swallows are on the side of the building when you come up the old end too.
Yeah.
You know, you can see those swallows, which I think is a magic idea to have on the side of your building.
Well, there was a story behind that, of course, but we'll not go into that.
Well, you probably had swallows, did you?
Well, the swallows actually, when we bought the house, the outhouses had swallows nesting in them.
Yeah.
So then we actually built a wee shed, you know, the oil shed, and left it open and, you know, put a gate on it so that the swallows could come in and still build. So that is now Swallow Cottage.
Oh, it's brilliant because you have a beautiful wetland here beside you and everything. And I can just imagine them coming in and getting their little bits of mud out there in the lane and building their wee nest.
Yeah.
And then little do they know that this is called Swallow Studios.
Yeah.
And it's such a wonderful, isn't it? Kind of a, I don't know, squaring the circle or something like that they're still coming. And
I suppose it was a very obvious thing for us to, well, what are we going to call this place now? You know, well, it's Swallow Cottage and Swallow Studios, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And have you any more plans? We'll walk on out maybe and look at the sinks and that. Have you any more plans for any more sort of Monaghan-inspired, like, dye lots or scarves?
Well, I'll be doing a showcase in January, the trade show, so I will probably be working on some new ideas for that. This loom here is where we make the crisp belts.
Oh, this is very interesting.
So these are the traditional Irish belt worn by everybody would have worn this prior to the penal days. They became then associated with the Aran Islands because it was only safe to make them in the Aran Islands. They weren't getting, you know, tortured. So I actually make them here now. This is Lorna and she's weaving them. And we sell them now, you know, all over the country.
Yeah.
But we sell them to some shops in the Aran Islands.
I love that.
You know, and last year when they were making the film, The Banshees of Inisherin,
yes,
they bought one of them in one of the shops and in Inishere. And then I had to make another one for the stuntman.
Yeah, and did you see who was wearing it on the...
I haven't seen the film
yet. Oh, I've seen the film.
Don't even know if they make an appearance. But
I think they do.
I will have my eyes out on stocks now to see it.
The fashion on the film The Banshees of Inisherin is phenomenal. I think they did a lot of research around knitwear and everything. Yeah, yeah. It's really super, I have to say. And Mrs. McCormick, I think, might be the banshee. She kind of hovers around the place in the film. It's pretty good.
Okay.
You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
But these are amazing. Instead of having other kind of fastenings, basically, people wore these.
Yeah. The men would have bound it round their trousers. It was in the days before zips and buttons, or buttonholes and all the rest. And they literally would have bound it round and tucked it in.
Yeah.
And say for
it kind of hold you in a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And protected your kidneys as well.
Oh, yeah, because it's that's quite a tight weave.
Yeah, it is.
Much tighter weave than a scarf.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And that's all wool as well.
They're all wool. I used the Donegal wool for this.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Some of them are the Donegal colours.
Yeah.
And then this one here is one that I've dyed the wool for. It's Donegal wool, but I've dyed it.
Yeah.
And I make these for a shop in Dublin, Stable of Ireland.
Oh, they're lovely. Yeah. That's a great. And so you're actually keeping a real part of our Ireland's, I suppose we call it, clothing heritage alive
that's
there.
What it is, yeah.
It's phenomenal.
So this here is the warping mill. This is where all the threads are counted out.
So I think we better describe what this is. We're standing in front of four big tall uprights of timber with a cross shape that kind of swings around a big bit,
rotates.
rotates around a cylinder in the middle, and it's got loads of threads woven around the outside.
Yeah, these are all marker threads. So the colours that you see on the frame here, the cotton.
Oh yes, look at that.
Candice did a warp with that the other day, so that's what Emma is weaving on now.
Okay, so then you lift these warps, you tie them.
Yeah, you chain it up. It's like a chain stitch.
Right.
And you take them over to the loom and tie them on.
That's very complicated.
It's a system.
It's a system. Once you get used to it, it makes perfect sense. But when I'm looking at that now, that looks extremely complicated to me. And this is your dyeing area, and this is your secret book of recipes.
Yeah. So this is where they get written down. And sometimes they get typed up, and a sample kept.
Yeah.
So as I say, even when we repeat these, there's never two the same because it's done by hand. Sometimes they never get as far as being typed up, and they just
end up in this lovely book here, which is all crinkly and bits of dye and bits of wool stuck on it.
Yeah.
That's a real heirloom right there.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
And some of the writing. Sometimes you can't read your own writing. But and then we have the saucepans here.
These are like big bain-maries or bain-maries.
So you can see there. Now I've kept that. There's blue in it.
Yeah.
So the next time I go to dye, I'll actually put a hank in there to soak that out.
Yeah.
And you can see here.
So that's the bobbly wool you were talking about.
This is the booklet.
The booklet.
So you can see how clear that water is now.
Oh, that's amazing. It's completely clear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a lovely blue.
It is.
Turquoise.
Yeah, but that could be something
else
completely different. It's actually the same colour as what I'm wearing.
Surprise.
When it's finished. So, and then this, we use the bain-marie for a different technique. And again...
that's where you'd lay the hanks in long and then kind of put different colours on it.
And I call those dappled colours.
Okay.
It's just a different, and again, they're even more random than these ones.
Oh, it's beautiful. Mm. It's a great workshop. It's great to see other people learning the skill of weaving as well, passing on that knowledge.
It's lovely to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's lovely to be passing it on from a working perspective, you know, that people are it's their job.
Yeah.
You know, it's unusual enough, you know, there's a few hand weaving places left in Ireland and it's nice to be one of them.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Part. Look at that here. Just to the sound of that, that's just wonderful. Thank you so much, Liz.
Oh, thank you.
Sure. Thank you very much. That's just been fantastic. So we're back out into the shop now, away from the lovely clatter of the looms. And Liz, what would you say has been the most defining moment for you working as a weaver?
Oh my God, how can I answer that? Well, funny enough, yesterday I was at a meeting in the K Club. I was meeting luxury tour operators, management companies who bring people in to visit Ireland. And I was the one business from Monaghan and I was really flying the flag for all of Monaghan.
Yeah.
And it was really an honour to be there as part of Ireland's Ancient East. There was people there from, as I say, Monaghan right down to Cove. And these people who bring tourists in are looking for authentic experiences for their customers. And I'm delighted to say that I made some really good connections yesterday. So I'm hoping that 2023 will bring more visitors to Swallow Studios to see the authentic nature of what we do, that everything is genuinely handmade here.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. Thank you so much for passing on all that knowledge to our listeners and indeed to all the people who visit here.
Oh, Liz. It's a pleasure to have you here, Shirley.
Ah, thank you. Heritage at the Heart podcast series is supported by the Heritage Council and Monaghan County Council. It's the loom is nearly as tall as me, so it's over 5 foot high. Yeah. It's made from, what kind of wood is this?
It's pine. The looms are a Swedish design.
Yeah.
This one here that Emma's working on would have been the first loom that I bought in 1988.
Yeah, and still going strong.
Still going strong. And all the other ones then I would have bought secondhand from people who would have bought them and maybe not used them or whatever.
And what are all these? I'm looking down at the ground bit of the loom here, or the ground floor of the loom, shall we say, and there's a big long series of paddles.
Yeah, those are called treadles.
Right.
And the treadles are connected to the lambs, which are these ones that are moving vertically.
Yes.
The lambs are connected to the shafts.
Okay.
And the whole lot then is connected to the treadles. So when she presses her foot, a series of shafts lift and a series come down.
Oh, I see that. So these, yeah. So she's operating everything with her foot. Like a giant organ in a church. Kind of.
Yes. Yeah. And you don't want to hear me singing.
This is beautiful. What are you weaving there, Ben?
This is water lilies warp, and the weft doesn't really have a name, does it?
It doesn't have a name because it's one of those ones that I did, kind of a random one. And I think it's actually quite beautiful. There is no recipe for it.
Yeah.
I know the base colours that went into it, but I didn't write down the final part of it. So it truly is one of a kind.
It's beautiful. Lovely navies and kind of navies like and purple, turquoises and greens in it. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm.